from his word. I want to take as our text this evening words in Psalm 17. Psalm 17 and at verse 5, where we read, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now, friends, perhaps some of you are thinking that this isn't a very exciting text for the Lord's Day evening. Well, friends, it's a vital text. Because if you and I are not upheld, are not graciously upheld, graciously supported, then we can never go to heaven. Now, this is prayer. This is real prayer. This is prayer that all God's people need to pray. And all of them will pray, at least in the spirit of it, all of them will pray this. You may not pray this prayer in these very words, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." But friend, if your religion is real, you'll pray that the Lord will hold you, and that the Lord will hold you up, and that the Lord will support you. In real religion, you see, there are always these two things. Always. Whatever else there is or isn't, there's a sense of weakness and true dependence. Now, you will know these things. There will be times when you feel, oh, how weak you are. It'll almost be tangible, just how weak you are. Spiritually weak, providentially, sometimes bodily as well. Often in your feelings, when you come into trouble, when you're tempted by Satan. Oh, we have to learn how weak we are, how helpless. But then, that's on the one hand, this weakness. But then on the other, this dependence. Depending on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful mercy that poor, weak, helpless, unworthy sinners are permitted, more than permitted, invited, welcomed to depend on Christ, to lean upon Christ. And that's the religion that will take you to heaven, hanging on Christ. Weakness, dependence. Dependence, weakness. Hanging on the Lord. Needing him to uphold us, to support us. Really, that's the description we have of the church in the Song of Solomon. If you remember in Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved?" The church of God, in utter, complete dependence on Christ. And why does she lean? Because she's weak. She has to lean because she's helpless. Why does she lean? Well, because his arm is almighty. Now, that's me. I confess that's me. And I wonder if it's you. Weakness and dependence. In our text, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." Now, We've already said that this is a prayer that's suitable for all God's people, and which all God's people will pray, at least in the spirit of it. But you know, this prayer doesn't belong to everybody who is worshipping with us in the service this evening. Not all of you. Not all of you are permitted to pray this prayer, you know. I'll explain why I say that. See, how can anyone, man, woman, girl, or boy, in real honesty, pray, hold up my goings in thy paths, if your goings aren't in the paths of the Lord? If your goings are in the paths elsewhere, are in the paths of sin, if your goings are in the paths of the world, if your goings are only in the paths of formal, outward religion. If your religion is real, friend, you'll know something of your goings being in his paths. The path, as we mentioned this morning, the path of separation from the word, the path, the narrow way which leads to heaven, the path of humble confession and repentance, the path of faith. Now, friends, I want you to ask this question of yourself. Am I going in the paths of the Lord? Ask that of yourself and answer honestly. In another place, in the 23rd Psalm, in fact, David said, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." These are the paths of the Lord. But before you and I can ever pray, hold up my goings in thy paths, we need by grace to be found walking in these paths. That wonderful word, again from the Song of Solomon, "Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock." Seek grace to walk in that well-beaten track that leads to heaven. The way the sheep seek grace to walk in that well-beaten track. That's the way the Lord's people, Christ's sheep, have ever trod. The way which leads out of the world, out of the city of destruction, and ends in the celestial city. Well, may there be a little searching of heart with regards to this. But surely many of you can pray this prayer. You must pray this prayer. Surely many of you are going in the Lord's paths, or praying to go in the Lord's paths, or seeking to go in the Lord's paths. If you can't pray this prayer in all its fullness, do pray that other prayer, that the Lord by his Spirit will lead you in these paths which will bring you to heaven at last. Plead with him to lead you in these paths. In other words, prepare you to stand before his face. We all need to be prepared for that day. To give you repentance and faith, oh, pray for that. In other words, enable you to flee to Jesus for refuge, to trust in him, to build on Christ, the eternal rock. Then you are in these paths that lead to heaven. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now, this is a prayer. It's very simple, I know, but it's a very real prayer. Do you notice the title at the beginning of this psalm, Psalm 17? This psalm is called A Prayer of David. Seems rather unusual, rather strange. Most of David's psalms have a lot of prayer in them, certainly. But this is specially entitled not a psalm of David, but a prayer of David. Now, David was a praying man, and every sinner saved by grace will be a praying man or woman or boy or girl. When Saul of Tarsus was wonderfully called by grace, and poor Ananias was so fearful that he wasn't real, that he wasn't genuine, the Lord convinced him it was real like this. He said to Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, for behold, he prayeth." He didn't say he has had a wonderful conversion. He didn't say he has seen heaven opened. He didn't say he has viewed the Son of Man with his mortal eyes. He didn't say he has been struck blind. He gave this as the mark of true religion, the mark of the new birth. Behold, he prayeth. You know about David. You've read about David, children. And David was a praying man. And before that, he was a praying boy. And you, girls and boys here this evening, none of you are too young to pray. There was a time when you were younger that you wouldn't understand prayer. But none of you are too young to pray. Isn't it a wonderful thing that all of us, including each of the children here, isn't it a wonderful thing that we can go to the great God of heaven and pray to him? And he won't be displeased. He won't turn you away. You can go to him with anything that's troubling you. You don't need to be a grown up to do that. Behold, he prayeth. That was said of Paul. That said of David, Paul, every sinner saved by grace will pray, not just for help in trouble, not just to get something that you want. You'll be praying that your soul might be saved in the great day, that you might be washed in the Saviour's blood, that you might be made right for heaven. So it's not a psalm of David, a prayer of David. And really, if you consider this psalm, David does pray for some lovely things in this psalm, Psalm 17. What about this? Verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Seems to be such a lot in this verse. At verse 7, God is addressed as the one who saves by his right hand, and his poor people are spoken of as those who put their trust in thee. But then show thy marvelous loving kindness. The loving kindness of God in Christ is marvelous, isn't it? If only the Lord would show it to us. There are some lovely prayers in this psalm, Psalm 17. What about verse 8? Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Isn't that lovely? If anything is going to touch the apple of your eye, immediately, if something's going to damage your eye, immediately you'll put your hands up to your eyes to stop it, to protect your eyes. It's the most tender, it's the most sensitive part of your body. And that's how the Lord keeps his people all the time, as the apple of his eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, the shadow of thy providence, thy protection, thy loving care, especially the shadow of the Redeemer's most precious blood. May this prayer be answered for all of us. So this psalm is David's prayer, a prayer of David. And friends, it was answered. And David had a good answer there in the last verse of this prayer of David. What about this for an answer to prayer? Verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So, a prayer of David, the whole of this psalm, and this, verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now, when we think of so many of these paths in which you and I are called to walk, oh, we do need to be upheld in them, don't we? We do need to be supported in them. We can't support ourselves. Our dearest friends can't support us. We need the Lord to support us. We need his almighty arm. We need his divine power. Thou, Lord, hold up my goings. Otherwise, I'm going to slip. I'm going to trip. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fall. It's a simple prayer, but it's a vital prayer. And there's urgency in it. There's reality in it. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Well then, a few of these paths in which we specially need holding up. Now, first of all, when the Lord begins to work in a sinner's heart, that sinner sets out on pilgrimage. He's made a pilgrim, a stranger. This world isn't his rest, it's polluted. In a sense, leaves this world forever. Just like Bunyan's Christian, he leaves it as a city of destruction. And the way to heaven is a way that has to be walked out. There's not any shortcut to heaven. It's a path that leads through the wilderness. It's a path which leads through this world of sin and sorrow. That's the path the Christian has to walk. And as we journey along in the pilgrim pathway that God has appointed, we feel our weakness. Not only do we feel our weakness, but we also feel our sinfulness. And we feel the power of Satan against us. And we feel the power of the world against us, either in opposing or in alluring. Well, how can we continue? How can we endure to the end? He that endureth to the end, and only he that endureth to the end, shall be saved. How can we be brought safely through? Hold up my goings in thy paths. We can no more keep ourselves than we can save ourselves. Now, there's safety in this way. There's safety as the Lord in love and mercy watches over these poor pilgrims as they walk out this pilgrim path. And in their weakness, they have to cry to him. And in dependence, they have to look to him. And especially this, that he will hold up their goings in this path which leads to heaven. That's what the Lord in love and mercy does. And he does it in answer to your prayers. Never forget. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's not something automatic. Just as a person boards a ferry and leaves at the destination, kept and by the power of God, and only by the power of God. Oh, but through faith, realizing our weakness, praying our way along, depending on him. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Now we have to say also that there will be the path of temptation. Matthew chapter 6 verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the prayer the Lord taught his children to pray. But that path of temptation, sometimes you're brought into temptation. Sometimes you realize your weakness. Sometimes you dread the temptation and the opportunity combining together. And how can you stand when you are not strong enough to stand on your own? Hold up my goings in the path of temptation. It's a slippery path. My footsteps will slip unless thou dost hold me fast. I'm reminded when saying this of a preacher I heard once many years ago who had been addressing a murderer inside a prison. He was sitting on one side of the table and he was speaking to the murderer on the other side of the table, and he was aware that the only reason he was sitting there and he was sitting where he was because in his life the opportunity and the temptation had not combined. Pray for that friend to be held up. It's a slippery path. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. There's also, we have to say, a pathway of trouble into which God often leads his people. Some of you I know are and have been well acquainted with this pathway of trouble. Things concerning your own health, long drawn out trials, maybe things in your family, your disappointments, your loneliness, things in your circumstances, fears concerning the unknown way. Sometimes you wonder how you're going to continue, and you perhaps think you're going to sink. Perhaps you think at times you're going to fall. You don't know what to do. You don't know how you're going to carry on. In Psalm 119, David puts it like this. He says in verse 117, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Really, hold me up, and only as thou dost kindly, graciously hold me up, I shall be safe. It's to be upheld in your troubles. In the 16th Psalm, David says, thou maintainest my lot. Now, those of you who feel you're walking a hard and difficult pathway at present, and it may be spiritual, not just natural trouble. It's not just natural trouble we're talking about. But whatever it is, you feel you're going to slip. and not be able to rise, not be able to find your way through it, David here sees a good and gracious God and Saviour, one he had proved, one who had never failed him, one he believed never would, one whose hand was almighty. Hold me up, Lord, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. But may you know the love and the kindness and the affection in it. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Hold up my goings in thy paths. Now, there are quite a few things spiritually as well. If we know our own hearts, things spiritually where we need holding up. What about the pathway of thanksgiving? To render thanks unto the Lord, it is a comely thing, and to thy name, O thou most high, due praise aloud to bring. We have so many mercies, and how we need to praise and bless and thank the Lord. But sometimes we do slip in this pathway of thanksgiving. We don't really bless the Lord as we ought. Sometimes the gratitude seems to languish, and we need the Lord to hold us up in this pathway of gratitude. Sometimes we slip in it. That was Hezekiah's experience. He was one of the most godly men in the Old Testament, but he slipped on this point. The Lord did wonderful things for him, and he was a wee bit thankful. But then we have this recorded. And God has recorded it, and it's clear he was grieved by it. In 2 Chronicles 32, Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit. In other words, the Lord had done wonderful things for him, but there wasn't anything wonderful about his spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. But it's not just Hezekiah. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's me. Hold up my goings in this path as well. Give me a thankful heart. Don't let me be ungrateful. Don't let me be hard and barren. No gratitude, no thankfulness. And another thing spiritually we have to mention is the pathway of prayer. This is one pathway that God's people have to walk in. And it's a wonderful privilege that there is a throne of grace, that there is a mercy seat sprinkled with blood. It's an amazing privilege that the great God of heaven invites unworthy sinners to come to the throne of grace, that they may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4. It's an amazing thing. A wonderful thing. Are you better, friend, maybe at sitting and hearing than at standing or kneeling and praying? Do we find it easier to listen, to hear, than we do to pray? That's a question. And yet when our souls are healthy, it's not a duty, it's a privilege. It's a gracious privilege. We love that privilege of prayer. But we need the teaching, we need the chastening, the correction of the Holy Spirit. Hold up my goings in the path of prayer, that my footsteps slip not. And what about this path? Reading the Bible. Reading the Word of God. In our spiritual beginnings, we couldn't wait to get home and pick up the Bible. Do you remember times like that, friend? How we loved. We looked forward to picking up the Bible and reading it and studying it. At that time, we could say, than honey, honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. That's how we thought of the word of God then. But if we're honest before God, that appetite for God's word very easily can begin to wane, and we get carnal and hard and dead and dry and barren. Hold up my goings in this path. Lead me in thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Lord Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Sometimes there's a path of danger, a path of special danger. If we are called to walk in a path of special danger, may we also know the special, loving, watchful care of God. But may we realize this, if we're walking in a path of danger, that we are not able to do it ourselves. Oh, how we need the Lord to keep fast hold upon us. So we're walking along a cliff top. How we need to be held from going too near the edge. How we need to be kept back from the danger. That's what we need the Lord to do for you and me, to hold us and to hold us fast. Hold up my goings in thy paths. And there's another side of it, really. Sometimes the Lord will lead you in a new pathway. Pathway that you've never walked in before. Maybe a new job. It may be some movement in providence. Different circumstances in your home. And you need the Lord to watch over you and to uphold you. But perhaps especially if the Lord gives you some work to do or lays some responsibility upon you. Think of Joshua and Elisha. In each case, it was a time of crisis in Israel. On the one hand, Moses was gone, and the other with Elisha, Elijah had gone. A time of crisis. Time of great sadness for Joshua and for Elisha. The loss of their masters, their dear friends. But now Joshua had to lead God's people. Now Elisha had to be the chief prophet in Israel. And both of them felt completely weak and helpless. Who is sufficient for these things? Both of them felt that great need of being upheld in this task that was now laid upon them. Hold up my goings in this new path. Joshua had Jordan to cross, Jericho before him. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And didn't the Lord hold up Moses in his goings? And wouldn't the Lord hold up Joshua in his goings? And didn't the Lord hold up Joshua in his goings? And at the end, Joshua said, not one hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He will not fail to uphold thee. And Elisha, oh, he felt the weight. He felt the burden. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he proved that the Lord God of Elijah was still in heaven, still almighty, and still with his people on earth. With Elijah's mantle, you remember, he smote the river Jordan and passed over dry shod. All these paths, then, hold up my goings in thy past. There are so many of them. No doubt there are many that you are concerned about. I've not really mentioned them. Time is limited. But there's one thing underneath it all, and that is the work of grace in a sinner's heart. We need that to be maintained. We need that to be upheld, that flame, that dimly burning flame, the work of grace in a sinner's heart. At times it might seem as though it's going to go out. It's flickering. But it doesn't. The Lord is there maintaining it. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Hold up my goings, and underneath maintain that work of grace in my heart. Well, in closing, David knew what this was. To pray for his goings to be upheld. As a boy, he had to go against a lion and against a bear. And I believe he prayed his way along, and the Lord did uphold his goings. And then he had to go against Goliath, and the Lord upheld his goings in that terrible path against Goliath. All David's wanderings and the evil desire of Saul, Saul's desire to overthrow him. But the Lord held up his goings. But David also lay on his dying bed. And you and I have to come there one day. Each one of us have to come there. And with David, things weren't right. He looked around in his kingdom, and there were so many things wrong. And he looked around in his family, and most terrible things had happened in his family. But he looked back over his past life. Oh, it's a solemn thing, isn't it, sometimes, to look back over your past life, one great blot, failure after failure. And there was David, dying. My house, not so with God. And yet, lovingly, mercifully, as David came to die, the Lord upheld his goings in that path, and his goings did not slip. 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. And David's goings were upheld at last, and his feet didn't slip, and he died in peace, and he entered into rest. But there is you and me. Hold up my goings, mine, in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Heavenly Father, holy Lord God, how we need to pray this prayer. Hold up my footsteps in all these ways we have been considering. Hold up my footsteps, we slip not. So bless us, Lord. Draw us closer to the Saviour. Bring us to a full dependence on thee. And if there be any still outside thy kingdom, O Lord, may they know no rest, no peace, until thou hast brought them in. Be moving in their hearts, even now. Part us with thy blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now let us turn in conclusion to read in order to sing from Psalm 17. And we may read verses 5 to 9. Psalm 17, reading from verse 5. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of those ways of thine. I call it heaven thee, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayst hearken to my speech. To me incline thine ear. Thy wondrous loving kindness show thou, that by thy right hand savest them that trust in thee from those that up against them stand. As the apple of the eye me keep, in thy wings shade me close from lewd oppressors, compassing me round as deadly foes. And so on. These verses of Psalm 17, 5 to 9, hold up my goings.